Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Boozy Bracketology. We are the home of strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And this week, we will be doing exactly that. We will be crowning the champion in the horror movie portion of our 80s movie mega bracket. If you haven't checked out the first episode, definitely jump over and do so. We had a lot of strong takes on that one. We're going to have a lot more tonight. My name is Mike. I will be your host this evening, but I am an impartial person in this, largely because I haven't seen a whole lot of 80s horror movies. My parents were very protective and made sure that that didn't happen, and I never became a big horror guy. You know who did? These five panelists right here. Let's meet them, starting off in Clearwater, Florida, with the... I'll give you the Simon to my Garfunkel instead of the other way around. Chris! How you doing tonight?
Actually, that does track, because you're going to be more niche and more artsy, and I'm going to be more pop. So,
but I'm also very short, like Paul Simon, so that's why I debated.
Hold on, are you calling me Paul Simon or Art Garfunkel?
No, I was giving you the Simon.
Yeah. That tracks. It works on more than one level. So,
all right, fair enough.
Kind of like our relationship, where I'm on the really normal person level, and you're down here.
And I have a beautiful tenor.
All right, well, here. You know it's a good bottle of bourbon when you get the plastic twist off at the top.
I was like waiting for the pop and he started twisting the
God.
What you got there, Chris?
This is my bottle. I can't believe I still have it. Mike, this goes back a couple of years. This is my bottle of the Walking Dead bourbon, Spirits of the Apocalypse.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love that you still have that.
I do. And I'm saving up all of my, you can't see them above me, but like right up the top shelf over here. I am saving up all of my bottles that are near Bottle Kill, and I'm trying to come up with a fun trivia format that I can call Bottle Kill Trivia. So y'all think about ways we can do that, and we'll come up with a format, and we'll throw it on the show. But this is might be towards Bottle Kill at the end of the night. We'll see.
Excellent. Well, if there was ever a bracket on which to discuss kills, it would be this one, right?
Uh-huh.
So, there you go. Next up... coming up to us from Las Vegas, Nevada, we have Christy. Christy, how are you doing tonight, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm still drinking some, oh my gosh, I can't words mouth right now. Rose petal tea. I'm sorry. I am a really lightweight, and there is whiskey in this tea, and yeah, I will do better. I will do better.
Doing great.
You're doing great. No, with... Whiskey is in my tea is the only way that I drink it, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Next up, back to the East Coast, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Michael Turner. How you doing? What you drinking?
Oh, we had a lot of fun in that first round. Please go back and listen to that. I think we made some very wise choices, unlike some of the other brackets that we've covered. I can't believe that The Thing and Nightmare on Elm Street are going up against each other in the second round, but we're not there yet. I have moved on. I had a Lucky Charms IPA in the first one. I have moved on to the S'more Cowbell Imperial Stout from Crooked Hammer Brewery. This has rich, roasty notes of chocolate, deep cookie tones of graham cracker, and a pop of marshmallow decadence. Another 10.9 ABV. Let's get that pop in there. Let's go. Spilled that on my shirt, but that's okay.
that is delicious. Yeah, this is to be a good night for kills. Let's get on with it.
Excellent. That sounds absolutely delightful. I love myself. I've had other s'mores type of beers, but not that one. So I'm gonna have to
really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to just seethe in jealousy over here.
I'll get you some.
All right, sounds good. In the meantime, we'll head up a little bit north to Champaign, Illinois, and check in with Nathan. Nathan, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing all right. I'm drinking a nice ice cold Diet Coke of the Coca-Cola company. This will be an additional one. I won't name how many I've had for the night. But
hard stuff.
Yes, Diet Coke is the hard stuff. I have to be careful. But that first round, we did have some solid picks, and it was a lot harder to choose between some than I thought it was going to be. And I think this next round is going to be even more even more difficult. But the other side of it is there are so many on here that I think I would be totally fine with being number one. So, but yeah, I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, well, much like the horror movie genre itself, in the sequels we have to ramp things up a little bit to keep people interested, right? Last but not least, coming to us from down in Fort Lauderdale, we've got Brandon. Brandon, how you doing? What you drinking?
I'm good, buddy. I'm doing great. Yeah, that first round, it was a little chalky. It was pretty chalky. I thought we'd have maybe one more upset, but it's pretty much what I thought it was going to be. And I'm super excited to continue going tonight. Last time I did do a shot, I will not be doing a shot this time. Just a good Guinness. I don't know if that really went, if that was a great pop, but
I got
cheers,
it.
My friends. Let's have a good time.
Cheers indeed. And of course, I will also be drinking. I got a brand. I got to stick to it. And I've got a lovely craft beer here from the Southern Prohibition Brewing Company in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I was looking through my beers and I was like, what looks even vaguely horror themed? And this is about as close as I could get because it has a picture of a gigantic fire ant wreaking havoc on like people. I don't know. It looks like straight out of Them, which is a 50s horror movie, not an 80s horror movie, but nonetheless, it's called Mississippi Fire Ant. It's an Imperial Red. It's actually very good. Turner, you do have me beating the ABV though. This one's only 8% alcohol by the way. So. Cheers, everybody. Let's make some difficult picks and we're going to start off with this first matchup, and I'm going to throw Chris under the bus right away.
My God.
Yeah. The number one seed of Nightmare on Elm Street and the number nine seed of The Thing both got here relatively easily, and yikes. Chris, take it away. Nice.
Why?
Right?
Blame the PNRG that I used to,
okay,
to determine
okay
the order.
This is your
no, not why am I going first? Why are we making this decision at all?
Yes.
So there's a lot of things to consider here, and I'm going to try and keep this short. I've been thinking about this literally since we decided that The Thing was going to win. I've been thinking about this, and this is where I'm at. Robert Englund's interpretation of Freddy Krueger is one of the most iconic horror movie appearances, horror movie villain, horror movie anything of all time. I would argue more iconic than Jason, more iconic than Mike Myers, because it's just so unique. But he's had to do that over like nine movies, seven movies, right?
Eight. Well,
New Nightmare.
Seven.
Yeah, New Nightmare.
New Nightmare. Forever,
right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sorry.
I think about Robert Englund a lot, but when I think about Robert Englund, it's of three movies. It's this movie, four technically, but I hate Nightmare on Elm Street 2, but I can't get the sight of him growing out of some other teenager's body out of my head. But really, it's Nightmare the first one, it's Dream Warriors, and it's New Nightmare, and that's it. All the other iterations, while they add stuff to the mythos, are utterly forgettable films. I think about The Thing a lot as well, but I think about The Thing for one freaking movie, because that movie kept you on the edge of your seat religiously throughout. A lot of it is hard to watch. There's that scene where they walk in. He's got a freaking beak growing out the side of his damn head. That we mentioned earlier, the scene where the guy's head gets up, grows legs, and walks off. And Kurt Russell, by the way, just kind of looks back at it. Looks at everyone, looks back at it again, hits it with a flamethrower. It's got some funny parts, but it's a horror movie through and through. But I remember that for the entirety of the film, not the entirety of a franchise. I'm going The Thing.
The Thing picks up its first vote. Christy, you're up next.
I'm going to have to go Nightmare on Elm Street for this one. For one, I actually voted for Nightmare on Elm Street, so still going with Gremlins here, guys. I'm a little bitter. There we go.
And Nightmare on Elm Street is going to pull even with the Thing. I knew this was going to be a contentious matchup pretty much as soon as it was cemented. So not at all surprising there. Turner, you're up next.
You're asking me to vote which child I like better.
And Sophie's I'm Choice.
Very angry about it. This is the goddamn final, guys. Why are we here?
Yep.
All right. To me, this comes down to like which one am I gonna watch multiple times? For the Thing, like I've already talked about Kurt Russell's acting, which I thought was spectacular. The whole tonal plot of the movie, the special effects are just so phenomenal. I'm fine if the Thing moves on, but I'm not going to be the person to vote against Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm not going to do it. It's the horror movie of the 80s for me. I've already talked about why I can't stand a killer that talks to you before he kills you. I know we brought it up in the last round, but the whole thematic plot of the one place that you're supposed to be safe from everything is in your dreams. And now that's been taken away. That's the one place that you're the most vulnerable. That resonates so deeply with me. Robert Englund is another person. If you ever meet him on the con circuit, just the biggest gentleman in the world. I love everything about that man. I have his autograph in my collection. We've talked about Heather Langenkamp, who does a phenomenal Final Girl performance. We've talked about Wes Craven. Like, guys, y'all don't know. Tina's death kill, the revolving room shot, so difficult to pull off. The imploding bed for Johnny Depp, so hard to pull off. Like, it's a masterpiece. It's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street picking up its second vote. It's got the Thing on the ropes. Is Nathan going to put it away, or, well, are we going to set it to Brandon again? What'd you say?
I don't know if I've decided yet. I'm going to start talking and then see where it goes. But
I've done that entirely too many times on this podcast. That, believe me.
I've seen behind the scenes of that spinning room rig that they had for Nightmare on Elm Street, and just the sheer amount of blood that they needed for that shot. And like, I can't deny how impressive it is that they were able to accomplish that. I believe a couple of guys got electrocuted during that scene because of the chandelier, or the ceiling light was actually, they were above it because the room was inverted or something. But I keep thinking about Freddy's, the stripes, the green and the red striped sweater, and everywhere you see it in the movie, and you don't know if he's going to show up because you don't know if it's a dream or if it's reality or if he could be there. Like, we don't know where he's got power. We don't know anything other than that he just keeps coming. And it's so hard. Where, you know, the Thing, of all of John Carpenter's movies, the Thing is easily my favorite. I don't know if it's his best objectively, you know, there's conversation to be had there. But it's just so, like, it's the only movie that I've ever seen that had me going, kill the dog, kill the dog, kill the dog. And because it opens and they're chasing a dog and you're like, why are you doing that? And, you know, 10 minutes later and you see like, something's not right with that dog. What's wrong with that dog? Holy shit. That dog's face. It just did that thing. It's like, you can't even describe what's happening in the movie. Just that something's happening and you know that it's bad. And it can't get out of Antarctica. And you know that that means that everyone in this movie is going to die. And there's just this, like, you get over that feeling really fast. And it is just this, like, it puts this kind of oppression on the whole thing that really works for horror in a way that it doesn't really work for anything else, because you're still really rooting for these guys to beat this thing, and you don't know if they can, and I don't think we ever really learn if they did. I think I'm going to have to go with the thing just because that's what my heart tells me. But I would be totally fine with either of these moving on. Like, both of these are, you know, S-tier movies. It's yep. criminal that we have to even have the discussion like this. But for me, it's the thing.
The thing pulling even with Nightmare on Elm Street. I almost said Nightmare Before Christmas. That's
alcohol starting. That's a whole different conversation.
That's a whole different thing. Yeah, exactly. The thing pulls even with Nightmare on Elm Street. And once again, we have a Brandon getting to break the tie and make the decision. Before we do that, does anybody want to throw up a buzzer beater? Try and sway him.
I'll do it.
And there's Turner. All right. Turner, you have 30 seconds. Make your pitch. Go.
Hi, Michael.
I have such a deep association with Freddy Krueger that when I was at a sleepover when I was 9 years old, my friend had a Freddy Krueger poster on the wall, and I can remember it to this day. And it's him holding like a Shakespeare, like Yorick's skull in his hands. And I was so fucking terrified that I would not sleep in that room unless he pulled that poster down. And his mom was so angry with me. And I don't know what that has to do with anything, but like, to me, that's horror. That I fucking love Freddy Krueger, and I'm not being true to myself if I don't ask you to pull for him in this one happenstance. I'm absolutely fine if the thing moves on, but to me, Nightmare on Elm Street is the scariest franchise of the 80s.
There you go, Brandon. But the choice is yours. What say you?
Now, this is downright. This is a Final Four national championship matchup. There's no other way to put it, but it is a 1 versus a 9. And it's crazy to think that. Freddy, Candyman, and Halloween all have three things I love about all three of those films. The music. I love the music. And Freddy, there is what we think of the song. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. And the whole song, we don't really hear, I think, until 3. And 1, you briefly see the 5 creepy little girls playing jump rope, and you hear like half the song. 3, I think we hear the end of it in 3. But then there's that other little song that you hear throughout the film, dun, dun, that goes throughout. I love it.
It's just the
Candyman. I love their music. Halloween. I love the music. And the acting, and Wes Craven, to have this imagination to come up. He thought of the Freddy character from his childhood. It was a terrifying fear. I think it was a janitor or something like that. They saw this burnt man, and it just terrified him. And he came up with such an iconic, amazing character. I think the one thing that really hits me for that film that I don't like, the ending is god-awful.
That's true.
God-awful ending. It's a cheap, terrible ending. You think, like, it could have gone certain ways. But then the thing... It's a slow build, and my wife, she hates that film. Christy, along with you, it's too morbid, too crazy, and the characters, they're insane. But the story, it is a slow build, but it's a great build. And there's two fears in that film. The whatever it is out there, they might have beat it. They might have beat it. That was the first fear. Second fear is dying in the Antarctic cold. I'm Kurt Russell. I'm out there freezing with a bottle of whiskey with Keith David. He might have it. I might have it. But if we don't, we're still going to die in the freezing Antarctic cold. I can't. Oh, man. Honestly, the better film, and I think a lot of people would agree, I think the downright better film, Wes Craven did a great job starting his career, but John Carpenter was already cementing his career as one of the greatest. I think The Thing is the better film. So I think The Thing.
Oh, man, that was a nail biter for sure. But at the end of the day, the third vote's going to go to
Chris
The Thing.
Right now.
The Thing is going to be moving on. Chris voted,
Chris
for,
voted
the thing,
for The Thing.
So I don't know, man. But yeah, The Thing is going to edge out Nightmare on Elm Street, the 9 seed, heading into the final four.
I was kind of hoping we would get a Freddy first Mason.
Right?
Right?
It'll be a Freddy versus Mrs. Voorhees.
Well, but hey, well, and that's it. And Brandon actually makes a great point. True. But hey, before we even get there, we've got to see if Friday the 13th can make it to the final four. Nightmare on Elm Street didn't. You never know. In this next matchup, it's going to determine that. It's going to be between An American Werewolf in London, the number 5 seed, taking on the 13 seed, obligatorily, of Friday the 13th. And Christy's going to start this one off.
I'm going to start it out right. We're going to American Werewolf in London. Again, stay off the moors and stay on the road here, guys. I just don't enjoy movies with the slow, big guy who's unstoppable, slowly killing people or gruesomely killing people. It's not my thing. But, I mean, American Werewolf in London, I mean, you don't even see this werewolf transform until, like, after an hour into this movie. And it's just brutal watching him transform every time. And it has Sister Julianne, who I'm sure none of you guys have watched in Call the Midwife, but I can't think of the actress's name, but I just absolutely love her as the love interest in this. So I will torture you no more, American Werewolf in London.
I will torture you no more is something that not very many of the villains in these particular movies have said, but in this case, it is said by Christy, and American Werewolf in London picks up its first vote. I am a child of the 90s. I keep having to correct myself and not say American Werewolf in Paris.
that movie's terrible.
I know. That's the worst part of it. Anyway, so if I do that, I'm just putting it out there right now. Anyway, doesn't matter. Turner, you're up next.
I don't care. All my mojo's gone.
I'm sorry, Michael.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Like, The Thing is now the clear winner of this bracket, and if it's not, we've fucked up beyond all recognition. An American Werewolf in London is a much better made movie than Friday the 13th. Which one am I more likely to watch more is probably Friday the 13th, but just I'm in love with the slasher genre itself. It had a nice run, but I will definitely admit that John Landis did a better job with the direction of An American Werewolf in London. And I think it's a bit more iconic simply for the fact that, again, we don't have Jason in the first Friday the 13th until he pops out of the lake at the end of the movie. You know, shout out to Carrie had the first real jump scare in horror, but you know, to an iconic jump scare. But no, I will vote for American Werewolf in London with the recognition that it's going to get curb stomped by The Thing in the next round.
An American Werewolf in London picks up its second vote. Let's check in with Nathan.
I just, of the Friday the 13th movies, I feel like when you sit down to do like a franchise like rewatch, that's kind of the one that it's like, I got to get through this one to get to the good ones, you know, but it's essential. You need that. You need the lore and the backstory, but it just isn't it's just not the best one for me. And versus like American Werewolf in London stands on its own as a really good movie. It isn't just setting up a good franchise. And one thing it does that I really appreciate is how much of the movie focuses on kind of the psychology of this guy who has made this transformation and is kind of coming to realize that, you don't really see that very often, especially now with, you know, I guess transformation type movies. He's like got this guilt over his friend and, you know, all of these past people that have been killed, and, you know, he decide, like, after he just realizes what happens, he's like, he doesn't go full werewolf. He's like, oh, well, I have to kill myself now. Like, I'm doing this horrible stuff. Like, it really adds an interesting angle to the movie. And it, I have a soft spot for horror creatures. I think werewolves have been done so much that it's hard to find really good ones now. And American Werewolf in London is one that's stood the test of time. And so that's, it is the better movie in my opinion, which is why I think it should go on.
And an American Werewolf will be picking up its third vote and will be going on into the next round. But I want to hear from our remaining two panelists on this one. Brandon, what do you think about this one?
Neither movie do I really go back to a lot, but if you're, you could go either way. What I was going to say is, if you're introducing somebody to horror, different areas of it, you, I guess, would want them to watch both films, but the more splendid, really well done is American Werewolf in London. The whole zombie Nazi dream scene kind of throws me off a little bit. I'm like, what is going on? But the makeup, oh my God, the makeup, it was splendid. Friday the 13th, I've never really been a fan. I was never a fan of any of the ones later on. Cool little twist. Kevin Bacon era. Later on, you get the girl that gets shot with the arrow in the eye. That's pretty crazy. That's later on. But I think American Werewolf in London is the right decision.
All right, and Brandon says an American Werewolf in London is the right decision. Chris, do I even have to ask?
So one of the things that I do in my spare time, by spare time, I mean when I'm not podcasting, working, and raising a toddler, is I like Turner, I like going to conventions. I think they're fun to go to. And being that 80s horror movies have influenced my life and my pop culture viewing for a long time, I actually collect like original like lobby cards. So those that are old like me, you'll remember you go to the movie theater, but when they had the posters out, like if they didn't have room for a poster, they'd put up like three or four lobby cards that showed stills from it. So I collect original lobby cards. So like right here, I have Army of Darkness signed by Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell and Ted Raimi. Out in the hallway, I've got American Werewolf in London signed by Dave Naughton, who is one of the nicest guys in the world. Just so genuine, so very, very sweet. I got to talk to him about not only American Werewolf in London, he did a terrible movie that people didn't like. I loved it, called Brutal Massacre, which I think is hilarious. But really, really sweet guy. No, this is American Werewolf in London. Get the hell out of here.
Well, I will not, sir, because we have several choices left to make. But an American Werewolf in London will be sweeping its way into the final four for a extremely tough matchup against the number 9 seed of the thing. We'll get to that momentarily. But before then, Chris mentioned an Army of Darkness lobby card that he had, and we're going to, I can't call it a prequel because it came before it, but we're going to go to its predecessor, the number 2 seed of Evil Dead 2, which swept its way into this Elite 8, and it's going to be taking on Hellraiser. This should be a very fun discussion, and we're going to start it off with Turner.
Oh, my. Let's see. So, I would think growing up, I would say I was more of a Hellraiser fan, because I find the Evil Dead movies a bit silly, especially Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Like, they play more comedically. Once you get to the Evil Dead remake that we had, that one is just balls out insane levels of gore. Like it's crazy. I love that movie. It is insane. And then Evil Dead Rise was a lot of fun. But I've come to appreciate them a little bit more in my adulthood in terms of what Sam Raimi had to work with. And like, I love Pinhead as a villain. Like I said, I talked in the first round about sexual perversion as a horror trope. And I find that very interesting. I think Ashley Lawrence does a really respectable job as a final girl, but I don't think I'm being very true to myself in terms of voting for Pinhead beyond the first round. I think Evil Dead 2 represents more of a pop culture landscape in terms of sort of the slapstick comedy that we got in terms of just being like a balls out horror experience. Like Evil Dead 2 is unrelenting for 90 minutes. Like you are in this thing, strap the seatbelt on and just go for it. Yeah, I got to go for Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2 picks up its first vote. Nathan.
This is a hard one. I think what's interesting about Hellraiser is it's got so much to say about the time that it came out. It was essentially like, it was a response to, well, these are what all of the parental boards and stuff are saying are in all these movies, and this is why our kids shouldn't see them. We're going to make a movie that's got all of that and show them that it can still be good. And, you know, it's a little bit lost now, but it's such a product or a response, I think, to a lot of the fears of like media content and what are our kids seeing. And it's a great example in my mind of a movie that if movies created killers, this would be that movie. And I watch it and I think this is the best time I'm having watching this movie. It's so gross. It's so nasty. And it's so much fun. I could say that about Evil Dead 2 though. This movie is gross and nasty and fun, but it feels, it's hard to put into words, but it's a different kind of fun. It's like fun with gross, whereas Hellraiser is like gross, but fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the other part with Hellraiser is I certainly think Hellraisers 1 and 2 are really kind of a part one, part two of a big picture. And maybe for that fact alone, I would have to say Evil Dead 2, just because I feel like Evil Dead 2 is maybe a little more accessible. But I'm not sure if I'm going to regret that decision later. This is maybe my The Thing and Nightmare on Elm Street a little
bit. They're all losing to The Thing, dude. It's fine.
You never know.
But, I don't know. It's tough, but I think of purely from a filmmaking standpoint, I think Evil Dead 2 just has to eke out the win. But it makes me sad. Because I love Pinhead. I love Hellraiser. The Cenobites are just so awesome and unique.
Final answer, Evil Dead 2?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that.
Rip off the Band-Aid. Nah, it's, yeah, we've all been there, man. We've all been there. Evil Dead 2 picks up its second vote. Brandon.
So, yeah, this is tough. You got a cult classic and probably one of the most messed up films ever made. Talk about Wes Craven creating the character of Freddy Krueger and later on Ghostface. But Freddy Krueger, Ghostface, he'd get crushed by any, I'm sorry, Nathan, to your wife, he would get crushed by most horror Legends. But Freddy Krueger, for Wes Craven to come up with that, like, he had some crazy things going on in his mind. Clive Barker to come up with Pinhead. Man, whoo, not just Pinhead, the Cenobites. Like the one that like clutters his teeth? Oh my god.
The Chatterer.
I can sit down and have a drink maybe with Pinhead, but that guy, like, he's clattering his teeth. Oh my god. And the girl with his her mouth. And so, Evil Dead 2. It's a cult classic. It's fun. It's crazy. I'll revisit once in a while. Hellraiser, maybe every once in a few years. But that's what it does to me. It's like, kind of like how we brought up Funny Games. I'm not going to ever watch that ever again. Sinister, never again. Hellraiser, I will. And he is a great villain. He is the villain. But in that first film, the real villains is that evil mom and her dad.
Yeah.
They're the real villains. And you're cheering for Pinhead to kill them. You can't wait for them to go down. You're actually cheering for Pinhead. Pinhead, get them. And then eventually he goes out to the girl and you want him to go down. Hellraiser wins.
Hellraiser.
Come on, push for Hellraiser.
Is not going down without a fight. It picks up its first vote.
I cheer for Pinhead in every one of those movies, to be honest.
That's a thing, every film.
All right, Chris, what do you think on this one?
I think Nathan's made me think more about Pinhead in the last 3 minutes than I have for the last 30 years. Because legitimately, when it comes to heavy lifting, that movie has more heavy lifting to do than any other film on this bracket. It's not just world building, it's world exploding, right? It's not just, hey, we have to introduce you to these characters in this world. You have to get your head around everything that happens in that movie and how it fits in with everything else. It's an interesting movie that just doesn't quite resonate with me. I'm obviously going Evil Dead, but I want to explain why. I can think of two movie franchises, not movies, but franchises that follow a lead heroic character for the most part. It's Halloween and it's Evil Dead. And even with Halloween, you're not really following Laurie Strode. You're following Mike Myers. In Evil Dead, you're following Ash. I almost called him Ash Ketchum, which is not the right Ash.
No, wrong thing. Wrong thing.
You got to catch them all, man.
In Evil Dead 2 is a tour de force for Bruce Campbell. I know that they did not have a good time making Evil Dead 1, and they did not have a good time making Army of Darkness. I'm hoping Evil Dead 2 was a nicer time for him, because that movie is... It's awesome. I'm going Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2 picking up its third vote, and we'll move into the final four. But first off, I do want to check in with Christy. What are your thoughts on this one?
This is a hard bracket for me, because I like both of these movies. I mean, Evil Dead 2... Bruce Campbell did a great job. I love his hand, honestly, his hand in this movie. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And I mean, Hellraiser, I could put it up against Poltergeist, and I was happy that either of them came through. But I mean, just I root for the bad guy in Hellraiser, like every time. Like, I don't care about any of the main characters. I'm like, oh yeah, honey, it's okay. You're going to die. It'll be fine. But it's like, I enjoy watching the character of Pinhead. Like, I enjoy him in every way. Now, have I introduced this one to my child? No. No. I saw they had a new series and I was just like, I can't even watch this, because then she'll watch it with me. And I'm a little scared. Just for horror, I would give it to Hellraiser.
Hellraiser. Picking up its second vote. That one was definitely a nail biter. But Evil Dead 2 is going to be moving into the final four. We're going to find out who it's going to be taking on right now. as we jump into our next matchup, which is going to be the number 3 seed of the Fly taking on the number 6 seed Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And Nathan is starting this one off.
I think I probably feel less strongly here. You know, these are so different, these two movies, that, you know, and I already have in my mind which one I hope wins the whole thing, right? But when I think about it in terms of, like, which movie was made with the mind of being, not to put Killer Clowns down, but which of these was made with a little bit more maybe artisanship in mind.
A better film.
The better film as a film. It might not even be the one I enjoy watching more. But I think Jeff Goldblum and The Fly, it almost feels like it has almost play elements to it at times. Like this could be performed on a stage, and I think Jeff Goldblum would still sell it.
Heh.
What's his name in that? Grundle?
Seth Grundle.
Yes. Killer Clowns, I love it for what it is. I don't really think Killer Clowns deserves to go up against Evil Dead 2. So yeah, I'll give it to The Fly here.
The Fly picking up its first vote. Brandon, your thoughts here.
I want to be quick about it. I'm never really been a big fan of either, but for a slapstick, not great film to have such a big cult following and to still be loved by many people, that means a lot. That really does. And I think I will suck it up one day. And I will watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space again. Jeff Goldblum, Independence Day was probably your least creepiest film you ever did. If you listen to Boozy Bracketology, I just want to let you know that. Jurassic Park, you were a creep, bro. You really were. And The Fly, you were pretty creepy as well. Gina Davis, sorry you had to hang out with him for a while, but there was chemistry there. There was. And special effects was great. But Chris, let's go with Killer Clowns from Outer Space to move on.
Love it. Killer Clowns from Outer Space is going to pull even with The Fly. And speaking of Chris, you're up.
I'm American, thank you. Okay, so let's get one thing straight here. There are two movies on this mega movie 80s bracket that feature both Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis. And when we get over to musicals, we'll be talking about the wonders that is Earth Girls Are Easy. Wow. The best thing about The Fly is not the acting, which is incredible. It's not the special effects, which are second to one in this bracket. It's the fact that it gave... help build David Cronenberg's profile to the point where he could make A History of Violence and Eastern Promises. Two amazing movies that my wife hates, but still two amazing movies.
I get that.
That whole stair scene, the stair sex scene in History of Violence, she can't get past it.
Get that.
But
we can't either, but for different reasons.
Keep Maria Bello's name out of your mouth. Keep her in your head, though, I think. I don't know where to go with this because you can't make the argument that The Fly is a worse movie than Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Love Killer Clowns from Outer Space so much. Maybe it's because I never stopped being a 12-year-old boy who wanted to make movies with his friends. Would have been helpful if I had friends that wanted to make movies instead of play baseball. But hey, Oh, Lord.
Head versus heart, man. I get it.
Well, it's not just that, but I met the Chiodo brothers at a con recently. And guys, they love that movie.
Of course they do.
They love that movie. They also have an entire special effects studio because of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go heart. I will watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space at least once a year for the rest of my life. I have a feeling if I keep pissing off Turner, though, that life will end sooner rather than later. So I might only get a viewing or two left, but I'm going Killer Clowns. And I love Cronenberg. I just, that hurts. All right.
As Chris buries his head in his hands, Killer Clowns from Outer Space picks up a second vote and has the fly on the ropes. You know what? I'm just a total side note. I need to come up with something else to say besides on the ropes, because I feel like a freaking broken record, and I apologize. I will work on that. I will work on myself. I'll take some time to self-reflect. But in the meantime, I will hand this vote off to Christy to determine if Killer Clowns from Outer Space is moving into the final four, or if we are going to tie this thing back up. Go for it.
Well, help me, is not going on, because it is clearly Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And I don't know why we're having this discussion. There is only one movie, and let's face it, that needs to go against The Evil Dead 2. For the same reason. That comedic horror. I mean, what happens if you leave popcorn in a hamper? It turns into baby clowns that are going to eat you. That deserves to move on.
God.
And
what the hell have we done?
And Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
This was your fault this time, Chris.
No, I love this. Listeners, I genuinely, I want to hear thoughts. Like, I want to hear from our listeners that took a look at the 16 seeds that we discussed in the first round and thought Killer Clowns from Outer Space was going to be one of our final four movies. And yet, it is moving on. And quite frankly, this is a matchup that I have seen both, and I can't honestly say I would have voted differently, but what I want to know is whether Michael Turner would have voted differently or will vote differently. The floor is yours, sir.
I've now had two beers that both have a 10.9% alcohol by volume.
Wasn't enough, was it?
I'm here to say, what the fuck are y'all talking about? This is,
hey, Siri, call the FBI.
This is a stupid fucking movie. The Fly is better in every single possible way. I'm still heartbroken over Nightmare on Elm Street losing, so that plays a role into it. I don't care. It's The Fly, you fuckers. What are you talking about?
All right.
All right,
everybody. Okay, listen. As a host, I'm just going to break in and say, okay, look, we've broken Turner. That's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but he is going to be okay. I do feel confident. Damn about it.
It's all like Steven broken.
But in the meantime, our final four is set by the narrowest of margins. In three out of four cases, it was a 3-2 vote to get into the final four. These choices are tough, and it's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Our final four is going to be the 9 seed of The Thing taking on the 5 seed of An American Werewolf in London, and the 2 seed of Evil Dead 2 taking on the 6 seed Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And let's jump right into that first matchup that I just mentioned. The Thing, An American Werewolf in London. Brandon, you're kicking us off.
Fantastic special effects. I mean, I've said I'm not a big fan of Werewolf in London, but special effects versus special effects, incredible, both films. But the tension, horror, like it's in there in American Werewolf in London, yes. And how he changes into the werewolf, incredible. There's good storyline, but I just never been dragged into it. Never really liked it that much. The thing, I feel like I hit every point from the actors to the special effects, the story, but it's just that tension. That tension. It's sci-fi, horror, it's a thriller. It's that tension you feel that, like, you have no hope. There's no hope. You keep on trying to beat that thing, and you might beat it. You're still going down. It's cold. And I would just start drinking as much whiskey as I could. It's one of the greatest horror films of all time. It's The Thing.
The Thing picks up its first vote. And quite frankly, given that it's going to dip into the 20s here tomorrow, the cold was enough to sell me on it. And I'm sure that Chris would probably agree with me on that. Chris, what do you think?
I feel like over the last four episodes of Boozy that he's been on, we have effectively ruined Turner's will to continue on these brackets.
It's true. Not going to lie.
It sucks because we love him so much.
We've had a good time, buddy. We've had a good time.
With that being said, this is another head versus heart one because The Thing is clearly a better movie, but I love A Werewolf in London so much more. And I think it's because that's one of the first movies where, like, of my couple of friends that liked horror movies, that's one of the first movies that I found first and brought to them where I felt like I earned some cred in the horror movie community because the people I watched with hadn't seen it. So I'm like, oh, I've heard good things about this. It was honestly, it was that and Rosemary's Baby. And ironically, Evil Dead 1, which, nope, she had already seen Evil Dead 1. But Evil Dead 1 coined the phrase demonic deep dicking in our friendship. So, hey. I know that now you do too. I've gone heart over head the last two times. I don't think I can do it here just because I think The Thing is Carpenter's masterpiece. I think it's his best movie. It's ambiguous ending that some people don't like, I think encapsulates the decision that those characters had to make at that point in time. Unlike Nathan, I don't know who the bad guy was. I honestly have no idea. For all I know, they both could have been bad guys. Who knows? I'm going The Thing, and I'm gonna regret it if I'm not gonna regret this either way. These are both great movies.
The Thing picks up its second vote. Christy, I want to hear your thoughts.
All right. Well, as I referenced horror earlier, The Thing definitely takes the horror. It is a horror. Like, I can't stand to watch this movie. It's a little too on edge for me. Horror movie. But I mean, American Werewolf in London. I'm not going to steer away from this. I'm sorry. I just can't. It just comes in with, like, your suspense. And then you hear the attack. And now we're in the hospital. And, like, the detectives coming in, they don't believe his story at all, but just that junior detective or Scotland Yard, I'm not sure what they call him over in London, just how he can't fit into that doctor's office in any way just brings a little levity and humor to the story, and it just happens on and off throughout the whole thing. And the guy's friend coming back as just kind of like a dead spirit warding him off is... It kind of reminds me of Pet Sematary in a way, how that spirit came in and tried to help this person out, and then he couldn't help him out. Ultimately, you know, the character goes off in a different story, and it's about him struggling with the fact of, like, he's got the survivor's guilt. His friend died horribly, and the only reason he survived is because those hunters were out on the moors. Who knows why they were on the moors and not the road? Maybe it was the pub guys feeling guilty about it. But it's just like the whole movie, it's like his friend's trying to convince him to just kill himself, and he doesn't. And he ends in an alley as this not great looking werewolf, but, you know, werewolf. And I mean, and it just, it black screens you right there. But I can deal with that level of horror. So I'm going to stick with American Werewolf in London.
An American Werewolf in London is not going down without a fight and does pick up its first vote. We're going to move over to Turner, who I believe has already tipped his hand, but we do want to hear what you have to say on this one.
You know, horror movies to me fall into two categories. Either you have a fun ending and like you've enjoyed your time, or you have a super bleak ending and you're like wondering what's left of the rest of your life. And both of these movies have like super bleak endings. Like you have the ambiguous knowledge of the thing, like one of these two ain't getting out of this alive because one of them's a fucking alien, and like you're just kind of left to imagine what happens. And with American Werewolf in London, like, oh, my love is going to save you. No, it's not. I'm still a werewolf. Bang, you're dead. What's the better directed movie? It's The Thing. I'm sorry. It just is. This, like Chris said, this is John Carpenter's masterpiece, unless you really, really love They Live, which I do because I'm a wrestling fan and Rowdy Roddy Piper kicks ass and chews bubblegum and he's all out of fucking bubblegum. But we're not here to talk about that. Like, no, we had the final round in the last round, you guys. We fucked this up. It's The Thing and move on.
And it is The Thing, and The Thing will be moving on. If you do want to hear us discuss They Live, though, you'll have to go back a few months and when we discuss the action movie portion of the bracket of the 80s movie mega bracket. But The Thing did pick up its third vote, and we'll be moving on into the championship game. But I do still want to hear from Nathan. What are your thoughts on this one? Did we get it right?
I think we got it right. I love American Werewolf in London, but I had to rewatch it this week to remind myself of all of the bits of it that I loved. The Thing, I could never see it again, and I would remember that whole movie. I love it so much. I love everything John Carpenter does. And I think The Thing captures what he's best at. All of the things that he's good at, he gets all of them in that movie. The atmosphere, you know, he's got some of his staple actors in there, and this creature that is a creature, but also is like an idea. Like part of the creature of the movie is like the distrust that it creates. And one of the things I've talked about this before, but one of the things that I really love about this movie that it does so well is the characters in the movie make choices that feel real. Some of them are dumb choices that I feel like I've seen people do in real scenarios, and some of them are really smart choices, and somehow The Thing just gets you no matter what. The blood test thing, great idea. Like, I don't know what else you do in that scenario, but it gets you anyway, right? And killing it with fire, like, we figured out that's what works. That's what we're going to do. But then it still comes back anyway. And, like, that's what makes a good horror movie so scary, is when I can put myself in the scenario and then see how I would still lose. Not like, oh, I wouldn't trip in the woods like this character did. I would have just run and gotten away. But, like, The Thing I know is going to get me. And that's why it's so scary and so good and holds up so well. So, and I think I read that they're making there's another remake happening soon, which.
Yeah.
We'll see where that goes, but.
We get close enough with Whiteout. We don't need another one.
It's one of those movies that is already perfect. You can't improve on it.
Yep. So,
And it's the movie that made me want John Carpenter to do a Dead Space live action film. But anyways, The Thing for me.
And The Thing for Nathan, it will pick up its fourth vote and move its way into the championship. Let's find out who it's going to be facing. Will it be the two seed of The Evil Dead 2? Will it be Killer Clowns from Outer Space? It gives me the utmost pleasure to hand this one off to Chris.
Well, every Cinderella story has to end. And I've got to be the first one to put the nail in the proverbial tent coffin that is Killer Clowns. This is Evil Dead 2. It's a wonderful, chaotic, frantic, just insanely well-paced film that is both fun and scary. It's bloody, but you're laughing, but you're rooting for the hero the entire time. Yeah, give me Ash.
Evil Dead 2 picks up its first vote, and as much as I enjoyed handing it off to Chris, I think I might be getting even more pleasure to hand it off to our next panelist, who is Christy.
Guys, it's Killer Clowns from Outer Space. You've already decided who your winner's going to be, so why don't we just debate Killer Clowns from Outer Space versus The Thing? And I think all of us will enjoy this conversation. I know we're just meeting each other, but it would be a great conversation because Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I mean, a love triangle where both boys are so interested in saving the girls that they both try to sacrifice themselves. I mean, it's great.
Don't forget the guys in the ice cream truck either. Yeah. They're the real heroes.
That's right.
They are totally.
They're the real MVPs. Not disappointed at all. Killer Clowns pulls even with Evil Dead 2.
The perfect horror movie. I mean, there's blood and gore everywhere, dressed up in cotton candy fluff. I mean, have you worked a cotton candy machine? Because I have, and it is hell, especially if you leave the dome off, because then cotton candy's everywhere and you're covered in it, and then you have nothing left to do but regress to that moment in Killer Clowns from Outer Space and think some clown's gonna come drink me with a silly straw. So, yeah, we have to, because you've already decided Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
All right, Turner, you heard the lady. You have to, Killer Clowns from Outer Space or Evil Dead 2.
Listener at home, I want you to join me on a journey. Chris is not ready for this, and I can promise you that. I'm going to take you down to Yaupon Drive, down off of King's Highway in Myrtle Beach. We're going to go visit a two-tooth whore named Tammy Ray. She's going to offer you $15 for a hand job, which you're going to decline because her hand is sort of like a claw, like Freddy Krueger. After you decline that, she's going to offer you two tabs of meth for $30, which you're then going to take because it's a more pleasurable journey than watching Killer Clowns from Outer Space. How the fuck did we get here?
Who's pulling out your ass?
No.
Oh my God. No.
I've got references, dude. Come visit me. This is Evil Dead 2. Move the fuck on.
All right. We're going to call that both a vote for Evil Dead 2 and also Michael Turner submitting his resume to be the head of tourism for Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. As Evil Dead 2 picks up its second vote. Nathan, you're up.
This is one of those times where I kind of wish that we could see this play out as one of those classic horror versus movies, like the Killer Clowns versus the Evil Dead demons, you know?
Right.
This feels like somehow these could inhabit the same universe and I could buy it. But I've seen Evil Dead 2 more times than I can count. It's a movie I can keep going back to. Killer Clowns is a movie that I can sit down with my friends and watch who've never seen it and have a great time. But I don't feel like it's not like a staple Halloween rewatch-a-thon movie for me. It's like my wife, who isn't that into horror, I'm going to sit down and we're going to watch Killer Clowns. Evil Dead 2 is the one I'll watch with all my buddies who are way into horror because we love it so much. It's just... Ash is the man, you know? He's the man. He's the hero that we all want to be. And the demons in that movie are some of the most creative kills, some of the most creative scenarios that I've ever seen. You never know when they're going to show up. They're always going to be there. And somehow Ash is always going to beat them. But it's going to be a great time along the way. And so it deserves a final spot in my opinion. I think Killer Clowns has gotten maybe a little farther than it really earned. But I still enjoy them both. I can't deny that.
But nonetheless, Evil Dead 2 does pick up its third vote and we'll be moving into the final round. I still want to hear from Brandon your thoughts on this one.
I still swear there's probably four or five better horror films that did not make the bracket that would have probably been better than The Fly and Killer Clowns from Outer Space. But I'm really happy that it went on this little fun run for the film it is. It makes sense that it would go on a fun little run like this. Evil Dead, we never really talked about, like, the shots. A lot of these films, you don't talk about, like, cinematography, the shots. We talked about the music a little bit, but the sound effects. And Evil Dead, Sam Raimi did a great job in those areas. He really did. Yes, it got goofy. It got funny. And it's fitting. It's a cult classic versus a cult classic. Goofy, scary, goofy, stupid. What in the hell am I watching? Against each other. My wife was never a horror fan. I got my wife in the horror. If I had to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which I probably will now, she'd be like, honey, what the hell are we watching? Evil Dead 2 should be like, okay, I enjoyed that. That was messed up. I enjoyed it. Evil Dead 2 deserves to be in the final.
Evil Dead 2 picking up the 4-1 victory over Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And we'll be moving into the final, which we'll be getting into without further ado. It is going to be the 9 seed of The Thing versus the 2 seed of Evil Dead 2. And I did not plan this at all, but I'm going to be handing this off to the one panelist that, if my notes are correct, has not once voted for The Thing on this entire journey.
Christy,
you are up and your choice is between The Thing and Evil Dead 2. Take it away.
If I must, I will continue my streak of not voting for The Thing. I'm not going to do it. It's going to be Evil Dead 2, sadly, not Killer Clowns. But I understand there are opinions in this world that are not mine. So I'll let you all discuss. There you go.
That is one vote for Evil Dead 2. Next up, we have Turner.
Christy, I want to say we thank you so much for joining us. You have been a beautiful new voice for us here in the Boosie Bracketology space. And we certainly wish you will join us in future episodes. But God damn, do you have the wrong opinion. I'm sorry. Like, no, listen, I wish this was not Random Street, but it's not. but I'm okay with this final. I'm just teasing, Christy. We love you. Thank you for joining us. This is two vastly different tonal movies, obviously. This is atmospheric and tension and, you know, just super what's going to happen versus here's a bunch of shit we're going to throw on the wall and we hope you like it. Oh, no shit. We don't care if you like it. Here's what it is. Sam Raimi has done better movies since Evil Dead 2, specifically Spider-Man 2, but we're not here to talk about that. Chris just cheered. No, listen, if this isn't the thing, we're fucking lying to ourselves. It's as much as I love Nightmare on Elm Street, it is the best horror movie of the 80s, and I'll keep it short and sweet. It's the thing. Move on.
The thing pulls even with Evil Dead 2, and we're heading over to Nathan.
I have to give, you know, Sam Raimi the shout out that he deserves. Brandon, I think it was you who were talking about the cinematography of that movie. Like, Sam Raimi basically invented a type of cinematography all his own. Like, even his most recent work, like, I went and, you know, what was it, the new Doctor Strange, and I watched that, and I'm like, man, that is Sam Raimi. Like, he has a style, and I love that style, and it's great, and it's part of what makes all of his movies so interesting and unique. Evil Dead 2 really does deserve to be a top tier horror movie of the 80s, I think. You know, it's lived on in many of these sequels and that have lived up to the original. But I think when we're thinking about, like, who reinvented horror, it's gotta be John Carpenter. I mean, many men and women have reinvented horror at times, but when you think about the legends, John Carpenter with The Thing, like, he invented new ways to scare people, like new settings, new ideas, and this movie is an original story from before this movie was made, but some of the ways that just the tension, the suspense, the terror, it's so oppressive. And it makes you really feel like there's a hopelessness to the movie, but there's still, but it doesn't make it feel pointless. Like, there's still that you're right there with the characters that we need to stop this thing from getting out and we're going to die. And that's established early on. And you're just along for the ride, trying to hope that these guys can kill this creature. Like, the first time that you start to see some of this stuff, when they go to that Norwegian base in the beginning, and you see this, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like two dudes fused together. And you're like, all you can think of is, what is that thing? Right. And that's the movie. Like, so much of what you see in that movie is like, what is this thing? And it just works. It's such, I could watch this movie over and over again. I love it. It's my, probably, it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's definitely my favorite horror movie, at least on this list. So, without a doubt for me, it's The Thing.
The Thing picking up its second vote, Brandon.
It's a great matchup. I still, with Michael, I agree. I think the championship should have been The Thing versus Nightmare on Elm Street. Evil Dead 2, a good third, fourth. I think Hellraiser, honestly, if it was seated a certain way, I think Hellraiser had every right to be in the final four as well. Evil Dead 2, great movie. Great movie. I just brought up cinematography, sound effects. Neither film, I would say, is in my top. Even The Thing. Thing's not in my top 50 favorite horror films. But I have so much respect for that film. So much respect. And I've brought up a bunch about how you feel the cold, but the movie pulls you in. Like, you are there. Like, Christy, you're like, am I really here and I'm seeing this weird thing around me? You get the sense that you are there and you're feeling all, and seeing all this craziness. It pulls you in like that. Both movies, one is splendid and it's going to be watched forever and ever and ever. Evil Dead 2, it will, but I think it does kind of get forgotten at times. The Thing never will be. The Thing is the winner here.
And The Thing is the winner. It does pick up its third vote, and it will be moving on into the main bracket as we continue to slowly build this 80s mega bracket that we've put together. I am going to give the final word, of course, though, to the man, the myth, the legend, the Chris.
You can leave the first three describers out. And just
yeah, I don't know where that even came from. I just, yeah. Anyway,
we all know you're lying. Okay, so I've been sitting on this for a little while, but I could take Brandon to task for a little bit because you made the argument that the better sound was in Nightmare on Elm Street. I will agree that the 1-2 Freddy's Coming for You is iconic. The composer of the soundtrack for The Thing is none other than Ennio Morricone. A spaghetti Western composer.
Is
who
he
has
famous?
He is an Oscar winner. He won for The Hateful Eight. He was handpicked by Tarantino to do The Hateful Eight soundtrack. He is one of the
never heard of
him. Of all time. The sound in that's actually...
That was a joke, by the way.
You're the unbiased host, right? I can still have my time?
Yes, you can.
With all that being said, I'm going Evil Dead 2 here. It's not close.
Oh.
No! It's The Thing.
Oh. I was like, okay, God. I thought maybe it was like a pity vote sort of thing or something. Okay. So I'd already marked you down. But you heard it here. The Thing. As I said, we'll be moving on into the main round. There were a lot of tough decisions along the way. We had a lot of strong opinions. One of the three things that we believe in, we did crown a champion in The Thing, except that it's not a champion because it only earns its spot in the main bracket, which we are really looking forward to getting to later this year. But it is the champion of the horror portion of our 80s movie mega bracket. We're slowly filling that in. We're having a great time doing so. We had a fantastic panel, and I think they brought a lot of really interesting takes on these things. What are your thoughts as listeners? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Come join us on our Discord. Come join us on Facebook. You can find all that information in the show notes. I am too tired and I don't have it in front of me to list it here. But I know that you can find it there. So we're all good. And I'm not going to spend all that time anyway. But hey, real quick though, if you do really like what we're doing here, if you get the opportunity, have a chance, leave us a 5-star rating, write us a review. That would be awesome of you. And if you really, really like it and you're not currently a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/PTEBB is your home for all of that. I think we're actually getting that URL slightly tweaked in the not too distant future, if it hasn't already been done already, for the full PTE network that we've put together with several other shows that are also part of that, that are come your way every week, including Frenemy Trivia, Verboten, and our newest Draft Days. Check all of that out. But in the meantime, as I said one more time, The Thing is your winner. And we are going to be signing off here for Boozy Bracketology. I have been your host, Mike.
I'm Chris.
I'm Christy.
I'm Turner.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one.